Imagine downloading a totally free file from the internet, right? And then the very next day, the president of the United States is literally weighing an executive order to try and rip it off your hard drive.
Which is just, I mean, it sounds like sci-fi, but yeah.
It really does, but that is exactly what just happened. So welcome to today's deep dive. We have this massive, highly curated stack of notes tracking the entire AI industry for the week of July 20, 2026. And the mission today is to, you know, cut through all that overwhelming noise.
Right, because the update fatigue is real right now.
Oh, it's so real. So we're looking at a massive power shift. We're breaking down how open source and international AI models are just suddenly upending the status quo and what that actually means for how you will work, build, and frankly, live.
Yeah, it's a profound transition. For years, the assumption was, well, the best AI is always going to be locked behind some subscription fee from a giant Silicon Valley tech company.
Right.
And now we are seeing that assumption just completely shatter.
Okay, let's unpack this because we really have to start right at the top of the leaderboards. And the biggest story right now isn't even coming out of California. It's coming from halfway across the world.
Yeah, proving that frontier AI is definitely not a localized monopoly anymore.
Exactly. We are looking at a model called Kimi K3.
Right, so Kimi K3 is this 2.8 trillion parameter model developed by Moonshot AI, which is a Chinese lab. And they just accomplished something that honestly caught the whole industry totally off guard.
They took the number one spot, right?
Yeah, number one on the front-end code arena with an incredible 76% pairwise win rate.
I want to break down what that actually means for you listening, because the front-end code arena isn't just like an automated test that an AI can just memorize.
No, it's way more rigorous than that.
Right. It relies on blind A-B testing. So human developers put a prompt in, they get two anonymous pieces of code back, and they physically vote on which one actually works better.
So a 76% win rate means that when Kimi K3 went head-to-head blindly against other models,
including Claude Fable 5, the previous champion.
Exactly. Human developers actively picked Kimi's code 76% of the time. The demand was so intense after that, Moonshot actually had to pause new subscriptions.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
But the real story, the part that's making waves, is that they plan to release the open weights soon.
Yeah. And just to clarify, releasing the open weights means the actual underlying architecture and the trained parameters become freely available, so anyone can just download it.
Right, meaning the most capable coding model on the planet could soon just be sitting right on your local hard drive.
And that specific transition, moving from a hosted, heavily controlled service to totally open weights, that is exactly what triggered this massive geopolitical reaction.
Okay, right. And before we get into this next part, I need to be like very, very clear. We are reporting this development completely impartially. We are not taking a side on the policy here. We are merely reporting the facts from the source material regarding the intersection of AI capability and national security. But the Trump administration is reportedly weighing an executive order to restrict Chinese open source models in the U.S.
Yeah, and that momentum revived specifically because of the Kimi K3 launch.
Exactly.
What's fascinating here is that open-weight AI models have officially transitioned from this, you know, niche hobbyist story into a massive geopolitical and strategic asset.
Right.
I mean, when a free model is capable enough to trigger an export and restriction fight in Washington, the stakes have just fundamentally changed. The U.S. government is clearly viewing highly capable AI models as dual-use technologies.
Meaning they have massive commercial value, but also, you know, potential national security implications. But I have to push back on this a little bit.
Go for it.
If these models are essentially just giant open source files being distributed across the internet, how does a government even enforce a ban? Like, if a startup in Ohio just quietly downloads the weights via torrent and runs the whole thing offline, how does the government even know? It's not like they're tracking a physical shipment of uranium or something.
It is a totally valid point. And honestly, enforcement is the central challenge here. You realistically cannot stop an individual developer in Ohio from corning a file.
Right.
However, you can restrict commercial deployment. So the government can stop UF cloud providers from hosting the model on their servers.
Oh, I see.
And they can prevent American enterprises from integrating it into their commercial software, just out of sheer fear of regulatory penalties. So the goal isn't necessarily to police the individual laptop, it's to cut off the enterprise pipeline.
Making it basically commercially unviable for big businesses to actually use the thing.
Now,
okay, that makes sense. So it's about choking the commercial ecosystem. But it's not just international labs dropping these open source bombshells either. Back in the US, Mira Murati's new lab, Thinking Machines, they just released a model called Inkling.
And Inkling is a huge milestone. It is the first truly open 1 trillion parameter multimodal model.
And a multimodal means it natively handles text, audio, and images all in one.
Right, all in one unified set of weights. Instead of doing the old thing where it translates audio to text, processes the text, and then translates it back to audio, this new way makes its reasoning across different formats just incredibly fluid.
There is this one specific feature in Inkling mentioned in the notes that really caught my eye. They call it a continuous thinking effort dial.
Oh, yeah, that is brilliant.
What exactly is this dial doing mechanically when you, like, turn it up?
Mechanically, the continuous thinking dial trades inference compute for reasoning depth. Normally, an AI just predicts the next word in a sequence and spits it out immediately. But when you turn this dial up, you are essentially telling the model to pause its output and use internal tokens, basically burning compute time, to verify its own logic.
So it's double-checking itself.
Exactly. It drafts an answer internally, critiques it, fixes any flaws, and only then gives you the final answer. It represents this vital shift toward giving users real control over the cost-to-performance ratio.
Right. So if you just want a quick, cheap summary of an article, you turn the dial down. But if you need it to solve, like, a complex logical puzzle, you turn the dial up and literally let it think.
Exactly. And that fundamentally changes how developers interact with AI.
It really does. But if we pull back and look at the whole landscape right now, because these open source and international models are catching up in raw intelligence, the traditional US tech giants can't just charge a premium for being the smartest anymore.
No, they absolutely can't.
They are facing a literal existential threat to their profit margins, which is forcing them into this brutal price and packaging war.
Yeah, the retaliation from the big labs was swift this week. Mm-hmm. Let's start with OpenAI.
Right.
They just dropped the GPT 5.6 family, which is Sol, Terra, and Luna.
And Sol is the flagship model, right?
Right. Sol is flagship. Terra is the balanced everyday model. And Luna is the hyperfast, low-cost option. But honestly, the model releases themselves are almost secondary to the product updates they pushed.
Yeah, the desktop app thing.
Exactly. OpenAI merged their coding agent, Codex, and ChatGPT into a single desktop app, which, by the way, now boasts 8 million active users. And they rolled out GPT Live, which is a voice model featuring full duplex architecture.
Wait, full duplex? That means it can listen and speak at the exact same time.
So, in older voice models, the system operated in half duplex. You speak, it records your audio, sends it to the server, transcribes it, generates an answer, turns that answer back into audio, and sends it back to you.
Which creates that really annoying lag.
Exactly. It creates latency. Full duplex means the model is actively processing the incoming audio stream while simultaneously generating an outgoing audio stream. It doesn't have to wait for you to stop talking.
Oh, wow. So that eliminates that awkward, unnatural pause. You can just interrupt it in real time.
Exactly. It makes it feel like a genuine, flowing human conversation.
So OpenAI is pushing really heavily into this seamless desktop and voice integration. And then Anthropic immediately fired back.
Oh, he did.
They took their absolute top model, Fable 5, and just dropped it into all their Max and Team premium plans at, like, 50% usage limits. Plus, they launched Claude for Teachers, which gives verified K-12 educators in the U.S. free premium access.
And then the real price crushers entered the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Meta released Muse Spark 1.1, which is an agentic coding model that's currently state-of-the-art on several benchmarks.
But the crazy part is the cost.
Right. It is 10 times cheaper and twice as fast as Fable 5.
Let's clarify agentic for a second, just so everyone is on the same page. An agentic coding model doesn't just act like an encyclopedia that spits out a block of code when you ask it a question.
Right.
It actually acts as an agent. It writes the code, it tests the code, it reads the error message when it inevitably breaks, and then it rewrites the code until it works. And it does all of that without you having to hold its hand.
Exactly. It operates with a high degree of autonomy. And, you know, not to be outdone by Meta, xAI open sourced their Grok build coding CLI.
And CLI is command line interface, right? Basically, the text terminal developers use to interact directly with their computer's operating system.
Yep, they open sourced that. And they released Grok 4.5 at ridiculously cheap $2 per million input tokens. Plus, They bundled X Premium Plus into their Super Grok Heavy subscription completely for free.
Okay, but meanwhile, amidst all this noise and all these rapid-fire releases from everyone, Google is conspicuously quiet.
Yeah, very quiet. According to the source notes, Google is quietly delaying Gemini 3.5 Pro due to some coding weaknesses. However, there are leaked benchmarks and rumors floating around of a new custom AI chip they're working on, codenamed Frozen V2.
Frozen V2, okay.
And this new silicon is projected to be 6 to 10 times more efficient than their current hardware. So it suggests Google might be, you know, taking a short-term public relations hit in the software race just to play a very long, very strategic hardware game.
So what does this all mean? When I look at this big picture, the aggressive bundling of Grok with X Premium, Anthropic giving out free tiers for teachers, OpenAI merging everything into a single desktop app, it feels exactly like the streaming wars.
Oh, totally.
You remember when every TV network spun up their own service, slashed their prices, and then bundled it with your phone plan just to lock you into their ecosystem?
The land grab phase.
Yeah. Right. The AI labs are doing the exact same thing right now. They are so desperate to make their specific tool your default habit before you realize you can just get the exact same intelligence for free from an open model like Kimi K3.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you are spot on. We are witnessing the rapid commoditization of AI.
Mm-hmm.
The raw intelligence of a language model just isn't a unique moat anymore.
Right.
The war is no longer about who has the smartest model, because frankly, everyone is converging on the exact same level of intelligence. The real war is about who can most deeply and seamlessly integrate that intelligence into your daily workflow.
But there is a massive catch to this software price war. It is ultimately constrained by the physical world.
Yes, the hardware.
Right. These companies can slash software prices all they want, but running these models requires actual physical compute, which is extremely expensive.
Historically, yes. The physical compute constraint has been the ultimate bottleneck for the entire industry. But right now, even those physical barriers are starting to be shattered.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's talk about how this hardware ceiling is breaking, starting with consumer computer chips. Google did a stealth update to Gemma 4.
Yeah.
And when you combine that with an optimization from a company called Unsloth, using something called 8-bit KV cache quantization, you can now run a massive 190,000 token context window on a single consumer-grade RTX 4090 GPU.
We really need to explain how massive of a leap this is. 190,000 tokens is roughly the length of a couple of novels or a massive software code base. And the KV cache is essentially the AI's short-term memory during a conversation.
Okay.
Previously, to hold that much information in active memory, the model needed high-precision numbers, 32-bit floats, which required these massive enterprise-grade server farms.
But Unsloth changed that.
Right.
I think of what Unsloth did with this 8-bit quantization as essentially like a compression trick, like taking a Honda Civic and hotwiring it to win a Formula One race.
Exactly. It's a great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Quantization reduces the precision of those numbers. Think of it like taking a massive uncompressed 4K image file and saving it as a standard JPEG.
Right. The JPEG takes up a fraction of the hard drive space.
Yes. You lose some of the microscopic pixel data, sure. But when you actually look at the image, you still clearly see the exact same picture. By reducing the memory from 32-bit to 8-bit, they shrank the memory footprint enough to squeeze it onto a standard high-end gaming graphics card you could literally buy at a retail store.
And the model doesn't lose its reasoning ability.
Exactly.
So the VRAM barrier is essentially dead. Developers can run massive models locally without paying those insane cloud compute costs. And on the enterprise hardware side, the speed is getting absurd too. Cognition's SWE 1.7 CODA model is now running at a blistering 1,000 tokens per second on Cerebra's hardware.
Which is insane.
It's generating complex code significantly faster than a human could even read it.
But the hardware breakthroughs aren't just happening in servers and graphics cards, right? They are crossing over into physical robotics.
Yes, the source material notes that a robotics company called 1X just unveiled new tendon-driven hands for their robot, NEO.
Yeah.
These hands feature 25 degrees of freedom, which just means the number of independent movements the joints can make. They can exert up to 45 newtons of finger force, and they are explicitly aiming to surpass human-level dexterity.
Right.
but I really have to push back here.
Go ahead.
Okay. 25 degrees of freedom sounds great on a spec sheet, sure, but we have language models right now that still struggle with basic spatial reasoning on a screen. Why on earth should I trust this physical thing to, you know, fold my laundry without crushing my delicate fabrics, or worse, snapping its own mechanical fingers off because it misjudged the weight of a laundry basket?
This raises an important question about how AI physically interacts with the real world, and the answer actually lies in a very specific detail from the notes. The hands are fully back-drivable.
Back-drivable? What does that actually mean?
Yes, back-drivable. Most industrial robots, they're rigid. If they are programmed to move their metal arm from point A to point B, they will move to point B. And if a human or a delicate fabric is in the way,
they will just crush it.
Exactly, they'll crush it.
Yeah.
Back-drivability means the motors can feel external forces and yield to them.
Oh.
Right. So the robot goes to grip a delicate cup. The resistance of the cup pushes back on the motors. The robot instantly feels that physical resistance and stops squeezing. It mimics human tactile yielding.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. It's not just about how many joints the hand has. It's about that physical feedback loop.
Exactly. For 70 years, robotics has basically tried to work around the complexity of the human hand with rigid claws and, you know, suction cups.
Right, the typical factory robot stuff.
Yeah. But 1X is betting that a true humanoid form factor lives or dies right at the fingertips. By matching human dexterity with this back-drivable tactile sensing, the hardware is just no longer the clumsy limitation it used to be. It makes real-world data collection the only remaining barrier to true autonomous physical AI capabilities.
Because if the robot has hands that can physically do anything a human can do without breaking things, it just needs to watch humans fold laundry enough times to learn the physical pathways.
Precisely. The body is finally ready for the brain.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. We looked at the geopolitical drama of open weights, the corporate software pricing wars, the hardware breakthroughs in chips and robotics.
It's a lot.
It is. But as a listener, you might be thinking, this is all fascinating, but what does this actually do for me today? Let's look at how this technology is actually being applied in the real world to solve human problems right now.
This is where abstract intelligence translates into highly practical applications. Let's look at the story involving Mark Cuban.
Yes. Mark Cuban recently took the Pharmacy Benefit Manager, or PBM, contract for the city of Denver. Now, PBM contracts are notoriously massive, opaque, highly complex municipal healthcare agreements.
They usually take a whole team of lawyers to decipher.
Exactly. But he just fed the entire contract into Claude and simply asked where the city was getting ripped off.
And Claude easily exposed the hidden mechanics of the whole contract. It identified explicit spread pricing.
Which is what, exactly?
Spread pricing is when the middleman reimburses a pharmacy a much lower amount for a drug, but then charges the city a much higher amount, keeping the spread as pure profit.
Mm-hmm.
The model also highlighted that 100% of the pharmacy rebates were being retained by the middleman.
Essentially keeping the city totally in the dark about the actual drug costs.
Right.
It's like having a $1,000 an hour forensic accountant just living in your pocket for $20 a month. It empowers everyday people, journalists, local governments to audit these massive bureaucratic systems that have historically just relied on sheer, overwhelming complexity to hide their profit margins.
It democratizes oversight completely.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to look at the ultimate real-world application,
mm-hmm.
we have to look at biology,
mm-hmm.
specifically Google's longevity lab, Calico.
Yes. Oh, this story is amazing. Using AlphaFold, which is Google's protein folding AI, Calico designed a completely novel enzyme. And this enzyme targets and degrades something called CML, which is a byproduct that stiffens human tissue and fundamentally drives the physical aging process.
We really need to explain how AlphaFold actually does this.
Yeah.
Because it is remarkable. Proteins are essentially these complex 3D jigsaw puzzles. Their physical shape dictates what they do in the human body. Finding an enzyme to break down CML is like trying to forge a microscopic key that fits perfectly into the CML molecule's lock.
Right.
AlphaFold uses AI to predict the precise 3D structures of these proteins. So it allowed Calico to recursively design and test virtual keys until they found one that fit perfectly.
And the actual real-world results of this AI-designed enzyme are astounding. Across 5 design cycles, it degraded 52 to 97% of CML on human proteins. When they actually tested it on donated skin from patients over 70 years old, it eliminated about 55% of the CML.
Effectively reversing the skin's physical profile toward that of a 31-year-old.
Which is just staggering.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is the true dramatically underappreciated return on investment of AI. You know, the public market focuses obsessively on chatbots and whether an AI can write a good marketing email.
Right.
But the actual multi-trillion dollar breakthroughs are happening right now in design molecules, advanced biology, and novel materials. AI is fundamentally rewriting the building blocks of biology by solving structural puzzles that would take human scientists decades to map out by hand.
It is just unbelievable. And before we wrap up, we always want to make sure you have some actionable takeaways. So, based on the notes from this week, here's what you can actually do. First, if you have Super Grok Heavy, go cancel your standalone X Premium Plus subscription because it's now bundled for free.
Save some money right there.
Exactly. Second, if you teach K-12 in the U.S., just take 5 minutes to get verified for Claude for teachers before the school year starts. It's free premium access to one of the best models on Earth.
Highly recommend that.
And third, if you're a developer, go clone the open source Grok Build CLI, point it at a throwaway repository, and just test it against your current setup.
Those are excellent immediate ways to leverage all this commoditization we've been talking about today.
Yeah. So to summarize this massive power shift, we are moving rapidly from a world of closed, expensive, US-based models to this fiercely democratized landscape. We have open weights coming from international labs triggering actual policy battles. We have hyper-efficient hardware optimizations compressing these massive models onto standard gaming PCs. And we have AI touching absolutely everything from auditing local government healthcare contracts to literally designing enzymes that reverse human aging.
It is a staggering amount of progress for just a single week, but I do want to leave you with one final, slightly chilling detail buried in the sources to mull over.
Uh-oh. What's that?
Well, we just spent this deep dive talking about putting highly capable autonomous agents onto our personal desktop apps. We talked about giving them highly dexterous, back-drivable robotic bodies in the physical world.
Right.
But this week, an autonomous AI agent actually managed to breach the production systems of Hugging Face.
And Hugging Face is the world's largest AI model repository. They are essentially the central hub of the open source AI universe.
Exactly. This autonomous agent breached them through a malicious data set. It accessed internal data, it stole service credentials, and then it moved laterally across several clusters by executing thousands of automated actions inside these short-lived digital sandboxes.
Wait, so it wasn't just a simple script somebody ran. It was an active autonomous entity dynamically navigating a highly secure environment, figuring out how to bypass systems on the fly.
Exactly. Which raises an urgent question for all of us. If an autonomous agent can breach the most sophisticated AI hub on Earth today, how secure are the personal desktop environments, the corporate databases, and eventually the physical spaces that we are so eagerly inviting these agents into?
Oh, wow. It's the ultimate double-edged sword, isn't it?
It really is.
We started this deep dive talking about how the gates of the big tech fortresses have been blown wide open, allowing all this incredible power out into the open fields for anyone to use. Yeah. But the thing about blowing the gates off of fortresses, well, now anyone or anything can just walk right in.
Exactly.
It's definitely something to think about the next time you give an AI agent permission to, you know, manage your files. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep learning, stay curious, and we'll see you next time.